Shalom, shalom, shalom to the Bride of Christ worldwide. God bless you and good evening to you. It's another time to ask the pastor, another moment to ask the pastor. We really want to appreciate God for this privilege he has given to us to be able to have this program, Ask the Pastor. And we want to specially thank all sponsors and supporters of the Bride TV that has given us this privilege to continue broadcasting 24/7. We pray that God will richly bless you and multiply these seeds of righteousness you've sown. And we really want to appreciate all Bride TV crew who are at their post of duty. God bless you. It's yet another moment to ask the pastor and Brother Olumide Jesus David. And the pastor will be asking today is none else but the overseer of the Bride Assembly Lagos Church, Pastor Moses Alu. Shalom, sir. You're welcome once again.
God bless you. Shalom, shalom, and shalom. To the Bride of Christ worldwide, it's always my pleasure to be with you.
Amen.
I love to be with you. It excites me to know that we are being a blessing to you.
Hallelujah.
And your testimonies are what are keeping us going right now. And let me again join our brother, Jesus David Olumide, to thank all of you.
That's right.
That have covenanted yourself.
Amen.
To keep this program on. Their Bride Television.
Hallelujah.
It costs us millions of naira, thousands of dollars to keep this station on, preaching the word of God, particularly the end time message. And feel free to join those who want to sponsor. It's
That's
open
right.
to all believers.
That's right.
And those who believe in what we are doing to keep this going.
Amen.
Thank you. In anticipation of your contribution, your offerings. And thank you for all of you that have sponsored and are still sponsoring.
Amen.
And a bigger even, thank you to all of you that are praying for us.
Amen.
That this station will remain. It is Amen. A timely technology
Hallelujah.
For a time like this,
Amen.
Reaching out to the Bride of Christ with the word of the hour
Amen.
Worldwide. Let us pray as we commence our Bible study
Amen.
Today. Like I always say, we are not here because we know more than you.
Certainly.
It's a Bible study. So feel free to also call and correct us if you think you have a different or a better understanding than what we are explaining. And we can also be blessed by that.
Yes,
but for every Bible question, we believe there's a Bible
answer.
Certainly. Let us pray.
Amen.
Father, and you are the answer to all questions.
Amen.
And that is why we come before you.
Amen.
In this special program. Mm. It's a great privilege, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Come and bless us today.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, come and bless us today.
Amen.
I will share the understanding of your word.
Amen.
Come and make it clearer and clearer for us.
Amen.
Let us be a blessing to somebody
Amen.
Out there in the world
Amen.
Who will be connecting today. Certainly you have somebody in mind.
That's right.
Lord, bless the communication.
Amen.
Bless the broadcast.
Amen.
Bless the telephone lines.
Amen.
Lord, let there be no itch.
Amen.
We commit the whole program tonight. It's a Amen. Bible study.
Yes, Lord.
May you come and bless us today.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we
Amen.
Pray.
Amen.
Amen.
The Lord bless you as we begin our Ask the Pastor this evening. Okay, can we have the first question right about now? Question. Wow, this is interesting. Do you get the same benefits of the cross when you aren't able for any reason or another of taking physically the bread and the wine? Sister Peace from USA.
Oh, the benefit of the cross
yes, sir.
Does not come from taking the communion. Taking of the communion is an expression of a fact that you are a beneficiary of the cross. I hope you understand that answer, Lumide and
Taking
Sister
of the cross is an expression.
It's an expression fact. That you are a beneficiary of the cross.
Mm.
So the benefit of the cross is what we are celebrating.
Okay.
It is not because of the communion that you have the benefit of the cross.
Wow. Wow.
I hope that is clear.
It's clear to me.
God bless
wow,
you.
That's interesting, sir. Thanks for that. Okay, more questions coming in. Shalom, sir. Shalom, Brother Jesus David. Sir, in Exodus 32:32, Moses told God to wipe his name from the book of life. was it talking of the book of works or of life? Sir, please, could you explain the different books of names? Sister Florence from Cameroon.
Sister Florence, Revelation chapter 20, to read verse 11 and verse 12.
From verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened.
Books were opened.
And another book was opened, which is the book of life.
So two types of books written there, yes.
And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books.
In the books.
According to their works.
So it is the book of remembrance, of reward. That's what Moses was talking about.
Mm.
Remember that we shall all face the judgment seat of Christ, and we shall receive the reward.
Mm.
That is what is referred to as the book of life.
Okay.
It is interpreted as book of life. It is actually the book of remembrance,
mm-hmm.
of the things you do that enables you to get your crown when we get mm-hmm. there. You don't receive a crown because you receive eternal life.
Wow.
After eternal life, you earn the crown you will receive. Mm-hmm. You work for it. Thank you.
So in Exodus 32:32, it doesn't even state it as book of life.
It said from the book which was written. Yes.
Okay.
Book which thou hast written, yes.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
God bless you.
More questions coming in. Okay, we have a caller. Hello. God bless you. God bless you, sir. You're on air.
Shalom, sir.
God bless you. Shalom.
Brother James from Shalom. South Africa. God bless you, sir.
My question is from John chapter 5, verse 45.
Okay.
John 5 what?
Yeah, that place.
35.
Jesus said that he will not accuse the Pharisees before the Father. That Moses is the one who accuses them. So,
okay, John
5, I want to understand in the area, 45. What area is Moses accusing them?
Okay.
What did he say?
John chapter 5 verse 45. Do not think that we accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom ye trust.
And the reason he said that is in verse 46.
For had ye believed
and
Moses,
47.
Ye would have believed me.
That's right.
For he wrote of me.
That's what he's talking. The things that he wrote concerning him is what will judge you.
But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words?
So that's what he means by that.
Okay.
God bless you.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Brother James, God bless you. Thanks for participating. Okay, can we have the next question? Shalom, my dearest pastor. Please, Malachi 4, verse 5. Is he talking about John the Baptist or Abraham? Please, sir, if a Christian dreams that he or she has defecated on the body, does it have any meaning? More grace, sir. Sister Cho from Cameroon.
Sorry, the first one is
Malachi 4, verse 5.
Is he
speaking of John the Baptist?
What are you talking about?
John the Baptist or William Branham?
Or Branham?
Yes, sir. And the second question, if a Christian has a dream that he defecated on the body, what is the meaning of that?
If it defecated in the body, it simply means you are unclean. Check the life that you live. Mm. And when you get yourself defecated, when you mess up with feces on you, on yourself, how do you get rid of it? You
wash
go and
yourself.
Clean up. And we are washed by the water of the word.
Hallelujah.
So come back to Christ the word.
Mm.
Repentance. You are living an unclean life.
Mm-hmm.
That is what the Lord is telling you through that dream.
Mm.
The next question is
Malachi 4:5.
Now, for those who may not know the scripture, can we read it? Okay, let's read it from verse 1.
For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts.
Okay.
I shall leave them neither root nor branch.
Mm-hmm.
But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be as ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts.
And that comes up in the millennium.
That's right.
Now, watch very well now from verse 4.
Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant.
Now, if he said, okay, go and finish that verse.
Which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments.
Who was he talking to here in verse 4?
The Israelites.
To the Jews.
Yes, sir.
And it continues in verse 5 and verse 6.
Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord.
Behold, I will send you. Who is that you? It's referring to. He will send to the Jews. He will send to the Jews Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. What is he to do?
And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children.
He will turn the heart of the fathers to the children.
And the heart of the children to their fathers.
And the children
to their fathers.
To their fathers. Please listen to me very well, Bride of Christ worldwide.
Amen.
Because many of us, including me, until God begins to shine more light. And I'm not ashamed to correct myself when I find myself in any form of error. I have a responsibility to millions of followers all over the world. And we must say the right thing.
Yes,
that's why I emphasize, there is the primary application of scriptures. And there is the secondary application of scriptures. Take note of that. There is the primary application of scriptures. And there is the secondary application of scriptures. But the primary application is what has the root.
Amen.
What defines that scripture? Any other one is a further light. Now, let's look at it. Now, that's why I stressed verse 4. You will understand verses 5 and 6 from verse 4. Read it again.
Verse 4. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant.
So, by that alone, you know who he is talking to. Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
By that alone, you know he is talking to the Jews.
Yes, sir.
Now, let's see the prophecies for the birth of John the Baptist. Put your finger in Malachi chapter 4. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. Now, concerning John the Baptist, the angel of the Lord was talking to Zechariah, the husband of Elizabeth.
Yes, sir.
Who had been barren all their years. And we know the story when he got to verse 16 and verse 17.
Okay. Luke 1:16. Yes. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God.
That is the ministry of John the Baptist. He will do what? He will turn them to the Lord their God. Because that was his ministry. They had all departed from God. Yes?
And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children.
Now, from this quote. Okay, again.
And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias.
Yes.
To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children.
Uh-huh.
And the disobedient to the wisdom of the just.
Uh-huh.
To make ready a people prepared for the Lord.
Okay. Now, you will notice that verse 17, he quoted
Malachi 4.
Malachi 4. The Elijah that is coming in verse 5.
Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord.
Uh-huh.
And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children.
Uh-huh. And so you can see that is why the angel was quoting in verse 17 of Luke chapter 1.
That's right.
Now we are rightly dividing the word of truth.
Amen.
2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15. It says, study show thyself approved unto God. A workman that need not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth.
Amen and amen.
That one scripture, Bride of Christ, one verse with a connecting and between two statements. That and can define two different periods.
Amen.
That's why we talk about dividing the word of truth. Now, let me give you an example before we come here.
Wow.
Sorry, because this is very important. It's very, very important.
Okay.
Let's look at the prophecy in Isaiah 61.
Okay.
Verses 1 and 2.
Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2 says, yes. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me.
Yes.
Because the Lord had anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek.
Uh-huh.
He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted,
uh-huh.
to proclaim liberty to the captives,
uh-huh.
and the opening of prison to them that are bound.
Uh-huh.
To proclaim
That's verse 2.
To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.
To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and what?
And the day of vengeance of our God.
Verse 2 says what?
To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.
Two, one.
And the day of vengeance
and
of our God.
There are two things to do. That is why the Spirit of God is upon him.
Yes, sir.
Now, if you go to Luke chapter 4, put your finger there in Isaiah chapter
61.
Now, in Luke chapter 4, now you will see that from verse 16.
And he came to Nazareth, yes. where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the Sabbath synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah.
Yes.
And when he had opened the book, he found a place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor."
Listen, he found a place which is written. That means he opened Isaiah 61.
Yes, sir.
And he began to read verse 1 and verse 2. Read on.
"The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor.
Mm-hmm.
He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised."
That is verse 1 of Isaiah 61. Now, then he read verse 2 now.
"To preach the acceptable year of the Lord."
And
he closed
He
the
did
book.
Not complete that statement because, but Isaiah 61,
verse 2,
what does he say?
"To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God."
Now come back to Luke chapter 4.
Yes, sir.
What did he say in verse 19, quoting verse 2?
"To preach the acceptable year of the Lord."
And
verse 20, "and he closed
He did not the complete the statement. Uh-huh.
"And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them,
uh-huh.
This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears."
Which one? That part that he read in verse 2. Because this is the day,
the
year
of
acceptance.
That's right.
Day of salvation.
Mm.
The day of vengeance is called the day of the Lord. When he will come to avenge this earth.
Mm.
Fire will come down. It will be rearrangement. And I have preached that message entitled "The Day of the Lord."
That's right.
That day when he comes, then he will say, "This day, this,
this scripture
is fulfilled."
That's right.
Now, so that you will understand, just like in John chapter 5.
John chapter 5, yes, sir.
Now, just also in John chapter 5, verse 28.
"Marvel not at this,
yes.
for the hour is coming,
yes.
in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice."
They will hear his voice, and verse 29.
"And shall come forth,
uh-huh.
they that have done good, uh-huh. unto the resurrection of
now,
life.
Yes.
And they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation."
Now, there are two resurrections in the Bible.
Yes, sir.
As we see in Revelation chapter 20.
Yes, sir.
So now look at that verse 29 again. "They shall come forth."
"And shall come forth,
uh-huh.
they that have done good."
"They that have done good unto the resurrection of life." Which is what we're expecting now. "And they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation, which will take place 1,000 years after." After the millennium, that is when the second one takes place. But it is all written there to look as if they will all stand up. "You go left, you go right." No, that... there are two different periods there for two different activities.
Hallelujah.
So with that in mind, you will notice that Malachi 4, 5, and 6, there are two events there.
That's right.
One is the ministry of Elijah that is come to do two things.
Hmm.
To turn the heart of the fathers
to the children.
To the children. And the heart of the children
to the fathers.
So there are two jobs to be done there. And he does it by Elijah. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 11. Now, see what the commentary concerning the ministry of John the Baptist.
From verse 7. "And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John, What went he out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaking with the wind. But what went he out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment. Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went he out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, I'm more than a prophet.
He said, John the Baptist was more than a prophet.
For this is he of whom it is written.
Yes.
Behold, I'll send my messenger before thy face.
He quoted Malachi 3:1. Yes.
We shall prepare thy way before thee.
Yes.
Verily I say unto you, yes, among them that are born of women, they have not risen a greater than John the Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he.
Mm-hmm.
And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence,
mm-hmm,
and the violent take it by force.
Now, go on.
For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John.
Uh-huh.
And if ye will receive it.
And if you will receive it.
This is Elias, which was for to come.
That prophecy that Elijah is coming is only in Malachi chapter 4.
That's right.
And he said that this is Elijah that is to come.
Mm.
Now go to Matthew chapter 17 again.
Right.
Okay. Go to from verse 9.
And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them.
In the transfiguration
them.
Now.
Jesus charged them saying, tell the vision to no man, until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead.
Now, why? Which vision did they see? They saw something in verse 2 and verse 3.
Mm. And was transfigured before them. And
Christ was transfigured before them.
And his face did shine as the sun.
Uh-huh.
And his raiment was white as the light.
Uh-huh.
And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias.
Moses and Elias
talking with him.
Mm. Oh, glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Okay, then we see verse 9 now.
And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man, until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead.
Yes.
And his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias must first...
Why? Come? What was he... Where were they quoting?
Malachi 4.
Malachi 4, 5 and 6. Uh-huh.
And Jesus answered...
Here the answer them, Jesus gave them.
Elias truly shall first come.
And restore
all things.
Yes.
But I say unto you that Elias is
the Elijah
already,
that is prophesied has come already.
And they knew him not.
And who did he say is that Elijah?
John the Baptist. Verse 13. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist.
They understood that he was referring to John the Baptist.
Amen.
So, but John the Baptist, the angel gave a prophecy in Luke chapter 1 verse 17.
Yes, sir.
That, what is he to do?
And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children.
Is that not what he was doing in his ministry?
Yes, sir.
To prepare the juggernaut Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the religious leaders, the scribes, the religious leaders that they look up to at that time, to point them to the grace age that was coming.
Amen.
And is going to come through the apostles.
Mm.
And this is what John the Baptist's ministry was until he introduced Christ. And he stated he would decrease. And Christ will increase. He finished it. So he fulfilled that first part.
Mm.
Now, so it was not Elijah physically coming from down. That would be reincarnation. We don't believe in reincarnation.
That's right.
But we believe in incarnation. So the spirit that was on Elijah was the same spirit that was on him. So now, but when they rejected Christ and they went the way they went and they are going to be restored, Zechariah prophesied it, the restoration of Israel, their own revival. They will even ask, where did you get this nails on your hand?
That's right.
And then you know the answers. Now, when Israel, because they rejected Christ, they were blinding, and the gospel came to us. After the rapture takes place, the gospel will go back to Israel.
Amen.
For now, that's the reason why under that, the influence of the Jewish rabbi who saw all the prophetic signs of a major prophet in the ministry of William Branham, had to tell William Branham, that if you carry this gift and go to Israel, that they will believe.
That's right.
And Brother Branham actually believed. And he, you know, somebody with an evangelistic anointing, if everybody is wishing Israel will believe. And he was on his way going according to his testimony until the last place he reached was Cairo in Egypt.
Yes, sir.
Where he would take the next flight, connecting flight
to Tel Aviv.
Yes. Mm. He said, then the voice of the Lord told him, go back. It's not yet time.
Amen.
Not just that it is not yet time. God will not use a Gentile to open the eyes of the Jews.
That's right, sir. That's true.
He will not use a Gentile. Everything he did was through the Jews.
Mm.
He brought the gospel to us through the Jews. All the apostles were Jews.
Mm.
That brought the the salvation is of the Jews. We have to understand that. So that's why I believe that testimony of Brother Abraham. So he knew it was not his
time, his ministry.
And that it was not yet time for them.
Yes,
not sir. Just not yet time for them, it is not his ministry.
That's true.
And that gives us the understanding. So now, turning the heart of
the children, to the fathers.
Back to the fathers. We see it in two places. Revelation chapter 10.
Chapter 10.
And verse 11.
Okay.
Maybe you read it from verse 8.
Okay. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth.
Yes.
And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again.
Again.
Before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings.
But John is long dead and gone now. And we have always thought, to me, by a better understanding, we thought wrongly. That is the bride's revival. No, it's not the bride's revival.
Amen.
What? He said, you will prophesy again. It means they have prophesied before.
Mm-hmm.
When did it happen before?
The day of Pentecost.
And the day of Pentecost, and they were all Jews.
Hallelujah.
And this will be fulfilled through Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. And that is the reason why in Matthew chapter 17, the transfiguration.
Yes, sir.
That is why where you will understand verse 1 and verse 2 again.
Up
to verse 3.
And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias.
Wait, what happened?
And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him.
Why Moses and Elias?
Hmm.
Why Moses and Elias?
Good question.
The reason is because Moses is the law. Elijah
the prophet
is the prophets.
Amen.
They are they that testify of him.
Mm.
But not only that, they are the two olive.
Two anointed ones.
Two anointed ones. Zechariah chapter 4.
Sir.
Read it please for me.
Zechariah chapter 4.
Yes.
From verse 11.
Yes.
Then answered I and said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick?
Two olive trees. What are they?
And upon the left side thereof. And I answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves?
Uh-huh.
And he answered me and said, knowest thou not what this be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth.
Now, watch something here.
Amen.
They are the two. Oh, glory be to God. Go to Revelation chapter 11.
Hallelujah.
From verse 1, let's just pick it to get the picture.
And there was giving me a reed like unto a rod.
Mm-hmm.
And they just stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein.
Uh-huh.
But the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not.
Uh-huh.
For it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread under foot 40 and 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I will give power unto my two witnesses.
40 and 2 months? That is 3.5 years,
Amen.
30 days in a month.
That's right.
And that is the period of
the tribulation.
Thank you very much.
And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,000.
Again, I will give power
unto my two witnesses.
Two witnesses.
Amen.
Uh-huh.
And they shall prophesy 1,203 score days.
That is 3.5 years.
Clothed in sackcloth.
They are the witnesses.
These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth.
Which we just saw in Zechariah chapter 3.
And if any man will hurt them.
Yes. Now let's see. Now verse 5 and verse 6 identify the anointing.
And if any man will hurt them, fire proceeded out of their mouth and devoured their enemies.
Who is this? Do we know in the Bible that had the anointing?
Elijah.
That brought the fire? Elijah. Okay.
And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed.
Okay, verse 6.
These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy.
Who is that person again?
Elijah.
Elijah.
And have powers over waters to turn them to blood.
Who has power over waters to turn them to blood?
Moses.
Moses.
And to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will.
Therefore, who are these two witnesses?
Moses and Elijah.
Moses and Elijah. And if you look at it, they were all prophets.
Amen.
Correct?
Hallelujah.
They were all prophets.
Amen.
Now if you go to Revelation chapter 12.
So this is interesting.
Revelation chapter 12. So now where we see Revelation chapter 11.
Yes, sir.
It is now God bringing back Israel's revival.
Amen.
Now the rapture has taken place.
After the rapture.
After the rapture, the Hallelujah. Gospel is going back to Israel.
Amen.
So, and they are going to do something there.
Amen and amen.
They are going there for the revival of the nation of Israel.
Amen.
What are they going to tell them? To return the heart
of the children,
back
to their
to the heart of the apostolic fathers.
Amen.
Those apostolic fathers, they have died and gone. And they are the ones that have produced, they have a faith that, you know, of the new covenant. In fact, grace came through them.
Amen.
So here they are. It is these two prophets. Elijah is among. You can see Elijah is there.
Moses and Elijah.
Moses and Elijah. It is through that. It is not William Branham. It is not William Branham. It is a Jewish prophet.
Amen.
It is Moses, a Jew.
Amen.
So you have to, you know, catch it from there.
Amen.
Then, before you now understand chapter 12.
Amen. That's what
now, chapter 12, the dragon that came to persecute the woman Israel, the nation Israel, verse 13.
And when the dragon saw that it was cast onto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child.
That is during the tribulation period. The last 3.5 years of that, those 7 years that were given to them.
And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle.
You see, they were given the two wings of a great eagle.
That she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she's nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent.
Now if you go back to Revelation chapter 6, that fulfills the fourth seal.
Verse 7.
Yes.
And when I opened the fourth sea, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see.
What is the fourth beast?
The flying eagle.
The flying eagle in Revelation chapter 4.
Verse 6.
Verse
7. And the first beast was like a lion.
The first beast was a lion.
And the second beast like a calf.
Like a calf.
And the third beast had the face as a man.
Yes.
And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle.
And that is God's standard to counter the Antichrist.
That's right. Anointing.
Yeah, but let me prove it further. And I said, I have said this several times, and a lot of end time message believers, you know, fight me over it.
That's true.
You know, to them, I'm saying something different from what maybe Brother Abraham taught.
Said,
and many of them listen to Brother Abraham and they don't even catch what he's saying. William Branham is not the one to place his ministry. We, his followers, are those to place the ministry.
That is a serious statement.
You understand now?
Yes, sir.
It's not William Branham that will place his ministry. Because a signboard does not point to himself. You have to understand something.
That's true.
It is the followers. It was the woman at the well that said, come on. After hearing something, he said, look, our scribe, our teachers, they told us that even Messiah will come, this is what he will
talk
do.
Like this.
Your work speak for you.
Amen.
We have looked at the ministry of William Branham, we are placing it. Now, so they disagree with me that the eagle is not the symbol of the Laodicean church age.
Amen.
And that the fourth seal is not for the bride, completely for the Jews.
Amen.
And
amen.
The rapture takes place
the
on
seal.
The third seal.
Amen.
Call me and correct me by the scriptures and let me know how you arrive at your own. Then let's compare. What many of you are preaching is what me too I was repeating, because believing that you people have read through, so why am I bothering myself again? But when I took time now and looked at it, under the freedom of the independence I have,
amen,
and knowing the responsibility I have, you know, with the kind of followership I have to say what the scriptures say.
Amen.
Listen, by the time that the gospel goes back, after the rapture, the gospel will go back
to Israel.
Israel, for the last 7 years, out of the 490 years program known as the 70 weeks given to Daniel by the angel in Daniel chapter 9. After the 69th week, the Christ the Messiah is crucified. The last 1 week is suspended. And we get to know through Hosea chapter 6 that it will last 2 days.
2 days.
3,000 years from AD 70. According to that prophecy. Between 69th week and the 78th week is the Gentile dispensation. And all that ends in the third seal.
Amen.
In that restoration revival, the shout that brings the church out of darkness.
Amen.
Preparing us for homegoing. When we go, then according to the agenda, the Antichrist coming from Rome, according to Daniel chapter 9, enters a covenant with Israel. And it's supposed to be a covenant of peace. But Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 15 had prophesied that it is a covenant of death. Which is what we see in the fourth seal. Read it again.
The fourth seal, Revelation,
Revelation 6, chapter 6,
from verse 7.
Yes.
And when he had opened the fourth seal, yes, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see.
Who is that? That is the eagle.
And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was
death. Was what?
Death.
Death. And
hell followed with him.
Okay.
And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with
to
the sword.
To kill with the sword.
And with hunger.
With hunger.
And with death. And with the beast.
That's
of
the
death.
Period of the tribulation. If you say the Laodicean church age, which we are in now, you can't say the Laodicean church age, because if we're even in the period of the human rights, the Antichrist has not yet been revealed. That is why even William Branham said it, that the church will be gone before the tribulation.
Amen.
William Branham used example of Sodom and Gomorrah. The angel said, go quickly, I cannot do anything until you are out.
That's right.
Okay, now. So, until they go out, before the judgment will come. And this going out there, it includes Israel. Now, the same thing also, judgment did not come until Noah entered the ark. Then judgment will come. So also in our own time, there will be no judgment until the rapture takes place.
Amen.
Now, watch it. And it takes place on the third seal.
That's right.
That is what you see in verse 6 of Revelation chapter 6. But let's go to where we are today.
Okay.
Now, so that covenant is broken by the Antichrist. And then that is what you see. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger. That's the tribulation period, great tribulation, and with death, and with the beast
of the earth.
Now, watch it, verse 7.
And when he had opened the fourth seal,
yes,
I heard the voice of the fourth
the
beast.
The fourth beast, which is the flying eagle. Now, saying what?
Come and see.
So he is the one that exposed who the Antichrist is.
Amen.
Now see how he did it. Now we come to Revelation chapter 12 now.
Yes, sir.
Verse 13 and verse 14.
And when the dragon saw that it was cast onto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child.
Yes.
And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle.
Now, can you see the two wings of a great eagle? The two wings there is Moses and Elijah that we see in Revelation chapter 11. To do what?
That she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she's nourished for a time and times and half a time.
3.5 years of the tribulation period.
From the face of the serpent.
You see? So now the question is, Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, is clear now that that scripture is John the Baptist that fulfilled the first part, and the two prophets in Elijah in Revelation chapter 11
fulfilled
the second part. Mm. That is the primary application. That does not concern the Gentiles.
Mm.
And he says that minister William Branham there, I said no.
Mm.
It's not, it is only a secondary application because it is a restoration ministry.
Mm.
The Gentile church also fell away and scattered. God is going to use a prophetic anointing and using the ministry of William Branham to bring us back together. So that is why we apply Malachi for Elijah to William Branham. But it's a secondary application. The primary application there is strictly for the Jews after the rapture has taken place. Mm. God bless you.
This will make a lot of end-time message believers hate yourself.
Oh, yes.
Okay, that question has been done. Justice has been done to that question by our pastor.
Several of my teachers have brought that out severally.
Thank you so much,
that
sir.
The rapture takes place in the third seal. I say boldly, irrespective of any quote you have, I have a counter quote from the Bible for it. And that's what I am quoting. I have a counter quote from the Bible.
Not from any sermon book.
And this is the one that we stand.
Amen. Okay. Brother Tolu is calling us from Abuja, Nigeria. God bless you, Brother Tolu. You're on air.
Good evening.
God bless you, sir.
My name is Tolu from Abuja. I want to ask a question from that book of Romans chapter 7.
Yes.
So yesterday, when somebody asked about the statement that Apostle Paul made in that verse 15, when he was talking about things that you don't want to do and what he was doing. So my friend did not give response to that question, that why did he make that statement? So the answer is because that was when he has not received Jesus Christ. So I couldn't bear it, and now reply and said no, that Paul has already accepted Christ. In fact, he has started ministry based on my own knowledge. Maybe it's because he has not reached the fullness of Holy Spirit. So he now wants to become an argument. I just point, because Bible says we should avoid arguments. So that's why I say I will ask today to know how I can go back to give the correct answer.
What Paul was stating in Romans chapter 7,
yes, sir,
he is actually using the carnal mind, just expressing the state of every human being. How that there are two forces working in you. The desire to do good is in you, but also the carnal man is also interfering, because no man is born to live a righteous lifestyle. There's a spirit, and every man, when you are doing something bad, you know you are doing something bad, and you will not like it because of the conscience you have. That is the estate of man. And when you read on, he says something here from verse 21.
I find then a law that when I will do good,
that when he wants to do good,
evil is present with
me. Evil is present with me. Listen very well.
For I delight in the law of God after the inward man.
After the inward man, man delights in it, yes.
But I see another law in my members,
yes,
warring against the law of my mind,
uh-huh,
and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which uh-huh is in my members.
Then, verse 24 and 25.
Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?
This is the cry of every man, just like Israel was in captivity in Egypt.
I thank God through Jesus Christ.
Now he's not telling you God's provision for deliverance from that flesh. What did he say?
So then with the mind, I am myself serve the law of God.
Uh-huh.
But with the flesh, the law of sin.
That is, these two forces are there. The flesh is there. And the Holy Ghost that is in you is there. Then you understand why he made that statement in Galatians chapter 5.
Galatians 5.
Verse 16. 16 and 17.
Okay. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, yes, and ye shall not fulfill the lust
so
of the
flesh. So I'm talking to a believer, whether it is Paul himself, you calling me now, myself here, walk in the Spirit,
and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Uh-huh.
For the flesh lusteth against
that
the Spirit.
That is what is in Romans chapter 7. That's all he's saying, yes? Mm.
And the Spirit against the flesh.
Yes.
And these are contrary, the one to the other,
uh-huh,
so that ye cannot do the things that ye would.
That is, as he expressed it in
Romans
chapter 7, is the condition of every believer.
Mm. Uh-huh. But if ye be led of the Spirit,
thank you,
ye are not under the law.
Thank you. I think I've answered you, my brother.
All right. Okay.
It's the condition of every man, every Christian.
Thank you so much, sir. Okay, more questions coming in. Good evening, sir. Please, is it true that people can still go to heaven if they wear earrings and trousers but still have faith in God? Shalom from Angelica in Lagos.
Nobody is going to heaven because of the cloth you wear, because of the earrings you wear. Nobody is even going to heaven because you are a fornicator. Fornication. You are going to hell because you are a sinner. You are going to hell not because you are a fornicator. Mm. Not because you wear earrings. Not because you dress like a prostitute. Those who wear earring, those who wear trousers, women, those who dress and paint their faces, they are the identity of sinners. If you are not a sinner, you won't dress like that.
Mm.
You cannot say you have faith in God and then you are dressing like a prostitute. What has that faith done for you?
Mm.
If that faith has not changed your character and your obedience to the word of God, mm, what is faith? So, see, a sinner, it's not one who smokes, who fornicates, who commits adultery, who lies, who cheats, who dresses all the nonsense dressing we see called fashion. It is the signboard. Anybody that dresses like that, you know, that is an attribute of sin. Identity of sinners. Identity of unbelievers. So if you say you're a believer, you dress like that, you know you are lying to yourself. What do you believe? This is what, you know, he says, this category of people will not inherit the kingdom because they believe not. That is what we see in Mark chapter 16, mm, verse 15.
Mark 16, 15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel.
What is the gospel of the cross of Jesus? Freedom. Now we have something to believe God, yes?
He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not,
if you don't believe, what will happen?
Shall be damned.
You are damned. And what is the evidence you don't believe? He says you should not be hearers of the word only,
but doers.
Mm. In another scripture, prophecy, he said, these people, they serve me only with their mouth, but
their heart is far from me.
Let's read. I think it's okay. Let's see where Christ himself was rebuking the Pharisees.
Mark chapter 7.
Yes.
Okay. From verse 6.
Read the place.
He answered and said unto them,
yes,
well, at Isaiah's prophesied of you hypocrites.
They call it hypocrisy.
As it is written.
Hmm. Yes.
These people honoreth me with their lips,
uh-huh,
but their heart is far from me.
Oh, so which faith do you have? Because you are, hey, I'm a Christian. Hey, you pay your tithe, you pay your offering. Hey, you are in the choir. Hey, you are a church worker. Everybody is seeing you that you are a Christian. But to say your heart is far. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Your address, your appearance. If it's worldliness that is in your heart, you will be worldly in everything you do.
Mm.
So, stop that. And please, why I'm saying this, I must balance it also, that you may not be wearing a ring. You may not be wearing trousers, sister. You don't even allow, not even wear the ring, because you consider it as a jewelry. And yet, you may be a witch. And yet, it may just be outward appearance, but the heart is not clean.
Mm.
Because it is not only fashion that sits in the heart. Wickedness is also in the heart. Hatred is also in the heart. envy is also in the heart. So when they talk of the heart, and it is your life is determined by what is in the heart. That is why the heart is the first place of visit when you receive the Holy Ghost, when you receive Christ. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Okay, we have more questions coming in. Good evening, Pastor Moses and Brother Henry McAree from Malawi. Sir, one of your sermons you preached about what happened during that 3 days, which Jesus was in the grave, that he went to AIDS and preached to the spiritual in that prison. And he took out souls which were in Abraham's bosom to heaven because they were there because their sins were still on them. They were just covered by the blood of animals. So they were not qualified to go up to heaven. But after that death of Jesus Christ, his blood had power to take away sins because it is powerful than that of animals. So when Jesus went to the Hades, his blood took away their sins which were still on them, only just covered by animals' blood. And now when a believer dies, he goes up directly to heaven because all his sins or our sins have been taken away by the blood of Jesus. Because his power, it has more power than that of animals who are just covering and not qualify them to go up, but rather only to go deep in the earth to Abraham's bosom. So my question is, how about Enoch and Elijah who went to heaven directly, yet they were also under the blood of animals too during their time? How special are these two brothers, Enoch and Elijah? Please help me.
Enoch and Elijah, you have to understand that the scripture, in God's divine agenda, to make it clearer and clearer for generations to come, there are certain display of certain happenings that will help us understand his agenda. Remember, it's like a script. It's called a mystery. Specifically, he took Enoch as a character to let us know about the final harvest from the earth, the rapture. We are meant to understand that Enoch was the seventh from Adam. And it was translated. He went up. It's speaking about the seventh church age, that the rapture will take place in the seventh church age for those who lived righteously on earth. And that just as you see Enoch transformed, that is how we also who are alive in the seventh church age will also be transformed as prophesied in the scripture. That is the main purpose for that. Then Elijah also was also translated to let you know, about also the ministry of Elijah, how important it is in God's program, so that the Elijah anointing brings a revival. If you notice, they killed Elijah in Revelation chapter 11, but
he came back to life
and translated, which is what we are seeing in the translation of Elijah under the watch of Elisha. God bless you.
John 3:13, even the Lord Jesus made it clear that they didn't go to heaven.
Yes.
So that the translated doesn't mean they
went to heaven. Yes.
He says, and no man had ascended up to heaven.
Yes.
This is the Lord Jesus speaking.
Yes.
But he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven.
You could see him physically going, but his soul is still going to where the rest are. And at the end, he will take all of them.
So that display is just a type.
It's a type
of what to come.
Exactly.
Not that they were truly.
No. No man has gone to heaven. Where they all are now, it's not heaven. It's a resting place called paradise.
That's true.
Bless you.
More grace, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, more questions coming in. Calvary greetings. My name is Chaplain Oludairo from Mowe, Ogun State. Please explain these two passages of the Bible. First, 1 Peter 4:6. For these reasons, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead. What is the interpretation? Will there be a second chance to be saved after death? Second, 1 Peter 3:19. To whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison. Please explain. God bless you.
They're going to the region of the dead. That's the prison that is referred to there in verse 19. when he died, remember that they were all under the blood of animals. The perfect sacrifice had not come.
That's true.
So when the perfect, and even in the region of the dead, there were two sections there. The disobedient, which is the place of torment, and the righteous, bosom, otherwise known as Abraham's bosom. Christ made us know that. And so we see that the 3 days that he died, what he was doing, he was not in the grave. The body was in the grave, but he went for his next stage of the ministry. Mm. For where we saw him in John chapter 5, verse 28. Yes, John chapter 5.
John 5, 28 yes, says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice.
So they have to go and they want to hear his voice. And when they are preached to them and brought the righteous out, we see that in Matthew chapter 27.
Yes, sir.
Brought them out. That was what he went to do. So, preaching to the dead there, it is the dead, the righteous, that he went. And he's going back again. This time to get them out again from the graves.
Amen.
And then we'll go and be with him in the rapture.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Okay.
Through the seven thunders.
That's right. Okay, more questions coming in. Shalom, Pastor Alu. I am Ama from Ghana. My question today is, why is it compulsory to marry an end-time message believer? And again, why can't we marry any other believer, even though they are not in the message? Especially when you are not getting any marriage from your church, but from other churches like Pentecostals and the Charismatics.
There is no law that says you must marry end-time message believers. Marry Christians. That is what the Bible says. Make sure you marry Christians. But then, it is dangerous to marry somebody who is not of the same faith with you. Mm. And I believe that is why pastors frustrate any effort for you to go out, knowing the implication. Because we are asked to come out of Sodom, come out of Babylon, and somebody, a Babylonian, is coming to ask your hand in marriage. No pastor will be happy about that.
That's
because
right.
Through the marriage, it will take you back to Babylon. Babylon. Through the marriage, and it has happened to so many believers, men and women. You marry, it will take you to where he believes. Now, so that is why be sure that it's somebody who believes what you believe for your spiritual life. Mm. And if somebody comes from outside your church, because there are Christians everywhere, they don't have to be member of your church. People come to Bride Assembly, and my responsibility is to preach to you the truth. So you use the truth you hear from me as a guide. But you can be free to marry whosoever you want to marry. But always know the implication. It is dangerous. Mm-hmm. But I have also seen, and the reason why I am a little bit softer than many intermessage pastors is because I have myself as an example. My wife was a Christian, and I was not a Christian. My wife was even the daughter of an elder in a holiness-believing church, Deeper Life. And you can see the reproach on that man when his daughter, his much-beloved daughter, is telling him that the man I want to marry is this unbeliever. And the father was mad. But she said, this is the man. She got a revelation. God is telling her. She herself, she was a Christian. That's my husband. And she must obey God. Hmm. And she was stubborn and married me. Now, at the time the man was rejecting me as an unbeliever, God, who knows tomorrow, was seeing a pastor that he was going to use worldwide by foreknowledge.
Amen.
But the father was justified. Hmm. He is not God. He's going to judge you from the scripture. So I use it to just say, this is the implication. If my daughter comes tomorrow and says, There is one Anglican priest that wants to marry her. You have had enough. Every man will give account of himself. I cannot drag you to heaven. You want to take a risk? Go and marry him. And I will attend the wedding. And I will let the chief priest, the priest there know that I don't support it too. It's her choice. So she's matured enough. I have preached to her that where you are is wrong. Your doctrine is wrong. And she's going to eat dead food in your place. Once I taught her fresh food, but I will not stop her. For she will bear the consequence of her action. But I will have, it will have been noted that I have taught you the truth. So also it is. If you come to my church and say it is that Muslim Alaji, I will announce to the whole church, we cannot stop her. She has heard the truth, but will not identify with the marriage. And even after the marriage, she wishes to still come and continue worshiping with us. If the man allows her to come and worship with us, you are our sister. You will come and worship with us. We will not drive you because you married a Muslim. But we will not follow you. We'll let you know we don't sanction it. And if you give birth to the child, you want to come and dedicate the child now, we will dedicate the baby. Because the baby will not pay for your sins.
Amen.
We'll dedicate the baby.
That's right.
I hope I've made that clear.
Thank you so much, sir.
But it's wrong for you enter message people. Some even believe you married from their church. Or even the enter message person coming, what does it mean? Are they thunder? If they are not thunder, no, don't go. It's wrong. Marry a Christian. Marry a Christian. And marry a man that will give you joy, peace, that will not disturb you worshiping your God. If you get such a man, marry him. Who has respect to your God? Marry him. With time, be praying for him. If God makes him your husband, then he must be a candidate for heaven. For God will not allow his daughter to marry a serpent seed. That's the truth.
Oh, thank you, sir. Brother Nelson is calling us from Ghana. God bless you, Brother Nelson. You're on air.
God bless you, sir.
God bless you, please.
My question, I have about four questions. Question number one. I think, assuming the 419 brother in a church
okay.
has gotten some money and he blessed members of the church with the money that are very in need and the money saved them, possibly school fees of their children and the money to feed. And they went to altar to pray that God should bless the brother more. And the brother got many more blessings through the 419. Can we say he's actually blessed by God? And then with the good deed which he has done to save this one in AD, will he, and will God count it for him as good deed? Question two, in the denomination, I have seen it said that their evangelism is printing flyers and then they invite people to the church. That is church advertisement in fulfillment of Matthew 6:33. Though many have shared testimony from that act that they have received more blessings. So can we say it is right or it is proper as Christian? Then question number three. When a man is born again, is it the spirit that is born again or soul? And which one of them will go to hell or heaven? Is it the spirit or soul?
Okay.
God bless you. The first question.
Okay, the first question. Are you done, Brother Nelson?
Yes, please.
Okay. Right. Okay.
The
listen.
First question is, if a 419, you know, makes money and blesses church members with the money, meets the needs of poor people in the church, and they go and pray for him that God should bless him, and you know, he's being blessed the more through his 419 business. So, is it really God that is blessing him?
No, certainly, certainly it's not God. Certainly, that's certainly. Now, I mean, you don't need to ask that question. You know, it's a wasted sacrifice. It's not God that is blessing him. After all, there are a lot of unbelievers everywhere that are receiving blessing even without your prayers. So that is not evidence that it is the answer to the prayers of the church members. And a pastor that knows that somebody is a 419 and then is bringing his money, know the source of the income. A pastor, every pastor must know the source of the income of the people that are sponsoring the church. Wow. If not, you yourself, you are collecting, you know, blood money.
Mm.
Even under the law, the priest refused to collect Judas' money. They call it blood money. Why will you collect it? It's wrong.
Mm. Okay. Second question, church adverts as evangelism. There's a particular church I know of in Nigeria. You see their members everywhere. What they do as evangelism is actually to give you their church tracts, advertising their church. Come to this church, come to this church, come to this church.
Yeah,
and
because
they testify that they are blessed through it.
Yeah.
So is it true? Is it right?
Yeah, you see, it depends on the spirit. The truth about it is that everybody cannot come to your church. If the purpose of going out for evangelism is to bring people to your own church, if that is the reason to bring people to your own church, it must be that you know there is something in your church that will save them, that will give them eternal life, that will improve their spiritual life, and not just for your church to increase in number.
Okay.
God judges why we do it. You know, why we do what we do. If you believe that, I know this sister loves God, I know if she comes to my church and she hears truth, she will stop certain actions she's doing. You know, if that is the reason, you are not like a fishing bait. You are using what, you know, what you have to attract people to come to you. When they come, then you give them the word. God knows it. God will bless it. You go ahead. But if you are just doing it for the expansion of your church, so that you have more money, the more people coming, God also seeing the motive. So it depends on the motive for doing it.
Sir, let me just ask a follow-up question to this. You know, at times, these church members are indoctrinated by the church leaders.
That's what I'm saying. I said that, what is the purpose?
The motive.
Yeah, the motive. If they tell you to go and advertise the church, the pastor can also know that he has something to offer. Let the people come and hear it.
Okay.
God will bless, you know, will judge us according to the motive. But if it is because, so that people will know I have a big church, go everywhere, everywhere, so that everywhere my name, the name of my church will be everywhere as a franchise, then God will also judge, because the gospel is not our church. The gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. And third question, soul or spirit? Which one is born again? Which one goes to heaven?
It's the soul that goes to heaven.
All right. Yes. Thank you, sir. Okay, Brad Nelson, we hope your questions have been answered properly. Next question, please. Shalom, sir. We broke off from a ministry. We noticed some weaknesses from the leader of that assembly. A group of brethren left with me and we have formed our ministry. Is this wrong, sir? Brother Eno from Cameroon.
Oh, sure. If they all have the same reason with you and you left, that's very good.
Okay.
But if you went recruiting them by spoiling the name of the ministry, sowing seeds of discouragement, you did it so that when you leave, they will all live with you. That is sin. You are not supposed to scatter anybody's ministry and live with people. Mm. Whatever you see, you came there on your own, you live on your own. Don't influence anybody to leave any church with you. It is sin. If God brought that person to the pastor and you come and take him away, following you will be God's permissive will, not perfect will, and that will be wrong. So if you have seen anybody listening to me now, if you have seen any reason to leave a church, leave on your own. This ministry, I got discouraged from my last ministry, the last church, and I decided to leave. I left just me. In fact, every church I've attended, I left just me and my family. I left four churches. I moved to another one, The last one, before Bride Assembly started. And when I left, I didn't go telling anybody, sow any seed of discord. And when members discovered, well, some people left, they came and met me, And from our discussion, they had the same reason. And even they were even ministers. So we started, four of us were praying in our office. It was an assignment, deliberate. No member of the former church must come. So that pastor will not say we broke his church. Even as influential as the four of us were in that church. If you come, we drive you away, we chase you away. And we make sure none of them follow us. If God calls you, then go look for your sheep. And but if all of them see the same reason with you and you all live together, nothing is wrong. You are going under the same reason. No problem.
Okay. More questions coming in. Please, my name is Njam Lewis from Cameroon. Good evening. Please help me and explain. But there is a spirit in man. Okay, Job 32 verse 8. And the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. And Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Explain.
What is the explanation there?
Job 32 verse 8. There is a spirit in man and the inspiration of the Almighty. But there is a spirit in man and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding.
You know, before you say that, read verse 7 first.
I said, days should speak, a multitude of years should teach wisdom.
Eh? Days should speak, a multitude of years, old age, should teach wisdom. But
there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding.
Given the spirit of man, the spirit of man, it giveth us understanding of life now, and dealing with God. That's why verse 9 follows.
Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment.
Only by the inspiration of the Almighty God, one has understanding. What's the other scripture?
Proverbs 20, verse 27.
What does it say?
The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly.
Exactly now. It's proverb. It's a description. I hope you know that your real self is not who you are seeing, Olumide. Your real self is your spirit man there. And so your spirit man defines who you are. You know, that is why the first thing God does in after your heart in salvation process, after he changes your heart, gives you a new heart, he also gives you a new spirit. It changes your spiritual makeup, because before he will now bring his spirit and bring it into your own spirit, because it is your spirit he works with.
Amen.
That dictates your life.
Amen.
And what you should do, your test of life, your attitude towards spiritual things. That is what that scripture is saying.
Okay. All right. We'll take a short break now. When we come back, we'll continue. Ask the pastor. We'll be right back.